Not only the story of Mary and Joseph, shepherds, the wise men, and the birth of Jesus, and no room in the inn, but also, you know, many stories, like Father just shared. And if you're a fan of Hallmark Channel, you keep wondering how they come up with all these new movies each year, you know, to celebrate the spirit of Christmas. And tonight, you know, I would like to share with you my Christmas story. I see many, you know, new faces around here, so let's let me take a moment to introduce myself. My name is Father Greg Bishop, and I am the substitute priest when Father Randy can't be here. Most importantly, my wife gave birth to a very beautiful and lovely little special needs daughter. And about 25 years ago, I had the opportunity to become not only her stepfather, but more importantly, her papa. And for the last 15 or so years, when it became more than my wife could handle, we sort of had a switching of roles, and I became Katie's caregiver. And for those 15 or so years, my life centered around her. Katie did not talk, she did not walk, she wore diapers, she needed pretty much help with everything that she did. And so my days were filled with, you know, giving her medicine, feeding her, taking her to school, you know, changing her diaper, getting her dressed, getting her medicine, shopping for her. And I loved it. And the thing was is that even though Katie only had the mentality of a 6 month to a year, she was the happiest child you ever wanted to meet. Her smile, her laughter, you know, she touched everybody that got a chance to know her, and many even strangers who never really just saw her, that they were touched by her. And then 2 years ago, on December 16th, we took Katie to Toledo to the hospital for what was supposed to be a very simple shunt revision. Supposed to take a half hour, 45 minutes. No problems. Most of the time this could be done as an outpatient. Because of Katie's special needs, you know, they were going to admit her. The small surgery turned out to be 3 hours. And the thing is that Katie never recovered from that surgery. As my wife likes to say, Katie never smiled again. And after discovering that she was brain dead, on the 21st of December, we made the decision to take her off life support, and Katie went home to be with the father. And so for the last 2 years, Christmases have been very, very hard for Bobby and I. They haven't been very merry. And the thing is that even though we went through the motions, again, it was difficult and was hard. And so this year, you know, as we sort of approached the holiday season, you know, it was sort of going to be, you know, the same old. We really, you know, weren't looking forward to it, you know, because of remembering Katie. And then, you know, God in his mysterious and wonderful ways, you know, something happened. A week before Thanksgiving, I passed out at the dollar store in Tiffin. I was taken to the emergency room, and eventually taken to the emergency room in Toledo at St. Vincent's. And while there, I passed out again, except this time my heart stopped. You know, they did CPR. I was refibbed and brought back to life. And then the following day, they found out I had blockage of two arteries and two stents were put in. Now that Saturday night, we were in the hospital, and it was the night of the Ohio State, Michigan State football game. And like any, you know, born and raised in Ohio, true blue, you know, Ohio State fan, I was very, you know, sort of disheartened and upset when Ohio State lost to Michigan State on a last-minute field goal. And the following Sunday, I came to church, and as I was there, I came to find out that we have in our very midst with us tonight, born and raised Michigan State fan, an alumnus of Michigan, who just happened to get two tickets for the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis the following weekend. And so Father Randy came to me and asked if I would have Mass so that he could, you know, spend some time in Indianapolis, hoping to be able to celebrate a victory, which he was able to do, and not have to rush back and say Mass. And I said yes. And then he also asked me if I would celebrate tonight on Christmas Eve, and I said more joyously, yeah, I would have. You know, I was sort of going to ask that anyways. But then he asked me to preach, which I really wasn't expecting. And so I said yes. And Jenny sent me on email Sunday night, you know, the copy of the Mass for the following Sunday. And I think I sort of opened it up and read it Monday night, when, right before I was, you know, going to bed. And on Tuesday morning, probably about 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, I woke up, you know, went to the bathroom. As I came back to bed, I started thinking about what I was going to preach about, not only for the following Sunday, about Advent, but also about Christmas Day. What was I going to say tonight? And as I thought about that, the thought came to me of, you know, the line from Scripture, to enter heaven we must become like little children. And as I began to think about that, I said, you know, what other child that touched my life more than my little kid? And as I reflected, the first thing I thought about was the first of three Christmases that we spent with Katie, when we spent Christmas with Katie in the hospital. Katie had went in for the first time with pneumonia. It was about 10 days before Christmas. And the thing was, is that on Christmas Eve, she had surgery. And so Christmas night, you know, Christmas Eve, we were in the hospital. You know, she was a very sick little girl. And we were, if not the only one, we were one of two people, you know, in the ICU over at Blanchard Valley Hospital. And we remember very distinctly, you know, sort of the nurses coming in and sharing with them some of the treats and the goodies that they had brought in to celebrate Christmas. And the Salvation Army coming around and singing carols and doing some caroling and bringing a gift for Katie. And the following day of sort of having dinner, you know, with the staff that had to work on Christmas Day and with so many strangers, you know, who were sort of sharing a common thing of having a loved one in the hospital on Christmas Day. And as we thought about that, we said, you know, this was probably one of the most meaningful, one of the most beautiful, one of the most, you know, the best Christmases we can remember, even though it was, you know, come out of tragedy. And then, you know, I just thought again, too, how Katie loved Christmas. When Katie was at home, we would get her out of the wheelchair, and we sort of had a sleeping bag that we would put over, a, you know, like a foam thing, and she would lay on the floor. We'd put her on the floor in front of the TV, and she'd watch TV and play with her toys. She'd have her toys around us. Well, you know, every December, her space would be invaded, of course, by the Christmas tree, with its twinkling or sparkling or the different types of lights flashing and or maybe doing a little bit of both. And we know that she really enjoyed that. And she enjoyed, you know, listening to the music, especially, you know, the carols that we would play that would be on TV. She even had a little toy that was one of these books and it had like five different buttons, and if you push a button, you know, it would play a different Christmas song. And she would play with that for hours upon end. And then there was, you know, the beautiful ornaments on the tree and the wrapping paper of the gifts that appeared underneath the tree. And a lot of times she sort of had to move her little way so she wouldn't get into them. But she loved that. She really, you know, enjoyed that. And the thing was, it was always a challenge for Santa to really, you know, find for Katie a gift that she would really appreciate, that she would really enjoy. Because a lot of times, you know, that we'd help Katie, she'd open the gift, and she would be more happy trying to take a piece of wrapping paper and make confetti than with the gift that Santa would bring her. Or, you know, that she would sit there and she would take it and maybe play with it for a couple minutes and then lay it down and pick up one of her own standbys. But I remember one special gift was this seahorse that played melodies, you know. And the thing was is that when she was in Upper, that her teachers, you know, they like to take her to garage sales, and they found this, and they got one for her. And somehow Santa found out about it, so that following Christmas, Santa brought her one, so that she could have it and play with it at home. And it became one of her favorite toys. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, one of her aunts and uncles brought her the same seahorse. And they gave it to her. And I don't know whether they forgot or, you know, they just sort of deliberately gave it, but she got for, the, I think, like the next 4 Christmases, including her last Christmases, the same gift. And, of course, we just sort of recycled them, so it was, you know, we went through a lot of batteries and this, whatever. But I remember, you know, her last Christmas, you know, we were gathered for the family, and they had brought the gift. And I was sitting there, and I was helping her unwrap the gift. And the thing was, I don't know whether it even started playing or whether she saw it, but she became so excited. She, you know, reached out her hands, and I couldn't get that gift out of that package quick enough because she wanted it. And when I gave it to her, it was like she was in seventh heaven. And she just took that and played with that. And, you know, the rest of the Christmas day. And it was, you know, an old toy. It's one that she'd had for 4 or 5 years. But it was something like new. And I just saw that amazement and wonder. And it sort of just brought home a lot of the message of Christmas. And the thing is as I reflect upon Katie, one of the things that she loved most about Christmas was going to Christmas Mass. You know, whether it was, you know, it was the music and coming in and seeing the decorations and the beauty of the church and the music as we played, you know, the carols and the people coming and making a fuss over her, you know, and just sort of coming up and talking with her. And she would really get excited. The last couple years, you know, that when we moved to Tiffin, that we would go over to the convent at St. Francis for Christmas Eve Mass. And even till today, you know, a lot of the nuns will sit there and they will, you know, tell me how much they got out of the joy that Katie would share, of just watching her and seeing her. And Katie had a habit sometimes, you know, when she would get excited, she would just yell out. She would just scream in the middle of everything. And how, you know, they were really touched by that. As I thought about that, I knew one thing is that Katie would want Bobby and I to be happy this Christmas, to share with her in the joy of the season and in the joy. And because of that, you know, it really changed me. Not only did I wake up at 5 o'clock in that morning, but I probably woke up, you know, 10 days, including yesterday and today, thinking about, reflecting upon, and to do that. And I was able to share some of that with my wife, and we've really had a beautiful time of Advent, of preparation, of taking in the true meaning, and really are happy and joyous to be here. Now that's my story. And yet I think it has something to say to all of us. And I guess the challenge is to become like little children. And I think, as we look around and we see the beauty of our decorations, of the crib, and we listen to the beautiful music of the carols that we've learned from childhood. And as you're driving home tonight and you see the houses decked out in lights, some of them very simply, some of them more, more elaborate, that we reflect upon the thing that Jesus, the coming of Jesus, that Jesus came into a world of darkness and he brought light. And he made the world a very beautiful place to live, a very beautiful place to be, and hopefully that we are glad to be alive. And that as you sit there and turn on the Christmas tree or plug it back in, that we also are reminded of this very simple and childlike fact that Christ is our light. And that we who walk in light, that forever our life will have meaning and will have purpose and direction. That our life will be ever green. And that tomorrow, when you exchange gifts, that again, that we realize it's just not so much what the gift is. But it's, in many ways, it's the fact of saying that we are loved, that I love you, I am loved, you are important, I am important, as we share, we give those gifts to one another. And for those of you who are very lucky, your parents and grandparents, to be with, to have your young children, and to see them as they come down, and we sort of appreciate and think about, just the awe and the anticipation. And as they come down and they open their gifts, and they are happy, with what they receive. And you little children, this is something that Santa has a message for you also in this, because it's not just the gifts, but he's teaching you a very important lesson, and that lesson is to be happy with what you get. To be happy with what you receive, rather than thinking about, oh, maybe I didn't get all that I wanted, or I really didn't get that one special gift. That a real key to happiness, not only now, but your whole life, be happy with what you have and what you need, rather than being worried about trying to get more or what you don't have. And then as we gather at the table, again, and celebrate, Christmas with our family, a sign of unity, that those of you, especially mothers and grandmothers and aunts, to remember that, that as we gather, that you in a very special way are celebrating in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. That as you sit there and as you gather your family at the table as a sign of oneness as we celebrate the Christmas, and you bring out food to physically nourish them, that remember that Jesus, on the night before he died, gathered with his disciples, for a meal. And he took bread, took wine, changed it into his body and blood, and gave it to his disciples so that not only they, but all of us, could be nourished spiritually as well as physically. Finally, the treats, the cookies and the candies and the sweets, that maybe we realize that even though the cookie may be broken or the pie or cake didn't maybe turn out the way we wanted it to, maybe we left the oven on a little bit too high, the chances are, that when we eat them, they taste just as sweet. And again, it sort of reminds us that those who follow Christ and walk in his way, that life is always meaningful, it's always sweet, even in the midst of difficulties and in the midst of strife and even in the midst of our brokenness. This Advent and this Christmas has been very blessed for me. And I hope that you know that you can be touched by the love and the Spirit of Christ. That you may have not only a beautiful Christmas night and Christmas tomorrow, a good Christmas season and years to come. So may you have a very merry and happy and blessed Christmas. Thank you.